my plane. I love this holiday. I love this holiday. And kiss love is a day. Like candles 1 through 8. And a new one every day.
Welcome back to Wisconsin. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in on your lunch hour. If you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to the podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher. And as always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And I think it's needless to say, this has not been a great year when it comes to anti-Semitism and the rhetoric, especially thanks to certain public figures, let's say, without spending too much time talking about those public figures. But in response to this rise in anti-Semitism, the Milwaukee Jewish Federation has joined forces with the National Shine a Light Initiative to raise awareness about the rise of anti-Semitism in the country and in Wisconsin. And there's a specific thing that's happening this week for Hanukkah that is so cool. And I saw it last night and I was like, ah, this looks great. So here to talk about that and also just, I think, the stats, the incidents, and maybe even how to address anti-Semitism when you hear it in your life is Allison Hayden, who is the Jewish Federation, the Jewish Community Relations Council Project Manager of the Milwaukee Jewish Federation and a member of the Anti-Defamation League's Midwest Associate Board. And she actively tracks and responds to anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin. So welcome to the show, Allison.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here and to talk about what we're doing with the Hone Bridge. So I will dive right in and say we have a program called Hanukkah on the Hone that is part of the National Shine a Light, which is Shine a Light on Anti-Semitism. So as some of you may know, Hanukkah is called the Festival of Lights. And every night of Hanukkah, we light a Hanukkah or a menorah, and we light a candle for each night for 8 nights. So as a more public way of doing that and just shining a light very visibly in Milwaukee, we are lighting up for the third year now the Hone Bridge. So if you go and look at the bridge, each night starting on from the right to the left will be one more pillar lit up with a bulb at the bottom to be the flame. So of course it's upside down, but if you're looking at it where you can see the water, it actually shows the menorah flipped and it's, you know, the world's largest upside down menorah. but it is a fun way to bring a little bit of joy and to celebrate our holiday and our, you know, Hanukkah light here in Milwaukee. And the reason that we're doing it, not just because it's pretty and it's very visible, is that there has been a huge rise in anti-Semitism, both nationally as well as here in Wisconsin. And this is a moment that we need to shine a light on that. Each night, you know, we have a speaker from either civic or faith leaders around the community that have sent us a message of support and community to show that this is not just a Jewish issue, that this is really, you know, a national and a community-wide problem. Because whenever there's a rise in anti-Semitism, there's inevitably a rise in other forms of hatred and bigotry. As we saw with COVID, there was a rise in anti-Asian and Pacific Islander hate. There's been a rise in LGBTQ plus hate recently with the shooting in Colorado and all sorts of Islamophobic, anti-immigrant. All of those forms are tied together and often we call anti-Semitism the canary in the coal mine because a lot of white supremacy and hate groups that really play into anti-Semitic theories also really perpetrate a lot of other bigotry and hatreds towards groups. So this is our opportunity to say that, you know, anti-Semitism didn't start or end with the Holocaust. It's a very real issue that Jews are still dealing with today. And as of just the past audit that was done nationally of anti-Semitic incidents, 1 in 4 Jews said that they experienced some sort of anti-Semitic hate in the past year. And we only make up 2% of the population in the U.S., but it's we're still exponentially targeted for being Jewish. nationally, the Anti-Defamation League does an incident reporting, and they saw an increase of 34% in 2021. They're still calculating for 2022. And that's the highest on record since they started tracking in 1979. And we've seen equal increases here in Wisconsin as well.
So what, because this is part of your job, is this audit. And so, because sometimes I think the blanketed term incident, or even an all-encompassing word like racism or anti-Semitism, it's like what gets counted as an incident? And so, because I imagine that something that there's microaggressions in just the language that we use, and there's also like violence and property damage and swastikas being painted on things. And so when you say that there's a rise in incidents, what is counted as that?
Yeah, so great question. It's a wide variety of things, and it does range. We have categories when we do our own audit of anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin, and we do separate out categories that are things like expressions. That's people posting on social media, side comments, you know, things like that would sometimes be microaggressions or just a one-off comment. And then we also have a category for discrimination, especially like in workplaces, category for hate group activity. Some of you may have seen earlier this year, there was a lot of flyers from a hate group that were distributed throughout Kenosha. So that's something we track as a separate group. And then, you know, threats and harassments and assault as a more violent outtick of anti-Semitism, and then vandalism. So they all get counted as incidents, but we do, in the audits, separate out those categories. You can really see what areas have increased. So general feelings and expressions of anti-Semitism have indeed gone up, but so have actual threatening or harassment type incidents as well. So an incident for us does not necessarily mean it's something that would be counted as a hate crime, for example. So a lot of national data, like the FBI's hate crime statistics, is very much only about if a criminal offense has happened. What we count is a wider group of incidents, because we're looking for a snapshot of what people's just general anti-Semitic beliefs and experiences of the Jewish community here in Wisconsin covers. And even something that's just a side comment using, you know, very negative or anti-Semitic stereotypes or saying that Jews control the media may not directly be as threatening as someone, you know, attacking a synagogue or threatening a person. But all of those basis comments and those unconscious bias really add up. And once you've normalized saying those, they can lead to worse things. So knowing where we stand with those kind of ideas helps us get a better idea of where we need to reach out in the community. Absolutely. And what we need to look at.
Absolutely. We're talking to Allison Hayden, who is from the Milwaukee Jewish Federation. And part of her job is tracking and responding to anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin. And I think one of the... because of the nuance of like with the language and what you were just saying, and I've heard it explained before. I don't think I'm qualified to explain it, but like in that sentiment alone, like the Jews can, the quote, I'm saying this in quotes, Jews control the media. How would you explain to someone who, when, if they were to respond with, well, why is that anti-Semitic? Like, why is that anti-Semitic?
Yeah. For someone like myself who is deeply ingrained in understanding and knowing this, it, you know, things that I see as obvious are obviously not so obvious. And oftentimes people spread things unknowingly. And the reason why it's anti-Semitic is because it's perpetrating and spreading tropes and conspiracy theories about the Jewish community. So that has been, you know, since there were a lot of Jews that work in Hollywood, because we were not allowed to participate in a lot of mainstream media at first when, you know, movies and shows started to be produced, Hollywood was created because we were pushed out of spaces and we created ourselves. But because there's, you know, a lot of Jews there, people say, oh, that must mean it's controlled by the Jews. And if you think that Hollywood's controlled by the Jews, then you'll go on to think that, oh, well, the media is controlled by, and then that'll go on to be like, well, then that also means the banks, and that means that the, you know, the government, and it derives from a sense of ignorance that people can spread this, but it creates a delusional view of Jews as this nefarious monolith that is out to cause problems in society. So saying Jews own the media is just not true. There may be Jews, there may be people in power who are Jewish, but there is not a monolithic Jews as a whole that control things. And that's kind of where the basis of it is, because mm-hmm. once you really like other the Jews into that single organism and say, you know, Jews do this, Jews do that, Jews control or manipulate this, it really demonizes us, and it creates that next step to be able to other and separate out the Jewish community and believe more and more conspiracies and tropes and negative things against the Jewish community.
Ellison, we had a caller at 844-967-2789 who wanted to know if you had a reaction to the New York Times crossword puzzle that ran earlier this week.
Not good.
Yeah.
If you can explain that to people who may not have seen it, please.
Yeah. So one of my friends sent it to me because I don't see the New York Times. But on the first day of Hanukkah, they ran their crossword puzzle. And you know, in a crossword puzzle, it has the black spaces that make up the where no letters go. And in this case, when you look directly at it, it makes a swastika. And sometimes I know the swastika is not always invoking the Nazis and Germany, Hitler's era. But this one specifically was on its side and going to the right, which is the design used by the Nazis. So it felt intentional, even if it wasn't intentional. Mm-hmm. And it's the thought that so many people probably had to look at this before it was published, and nobody thought to ask a question, and or nobody thought to look at it and wonder, does that look kind of suspicious? Is that so, like, even if it wasn't done with ill intent, the people who want to see swastika, they want to see things supporting their hateful views, will see it and be like, oh, great, the New York Times put out a swastika. What wonderful news. But obviously, to the Jewish community, we'll see it as a, this went through so many people and nobody noticed that it was a swastika. Well,
And it's a good point as far as when it's the New York. It's one thing for As Goes Wisconsin, if we publish something on social media that wasn't double checked, because there's not a lot of us. But having a friend who has been published in the New York Times and him talking about what the editing process is and how many people have to read something before it gets published in the paper or in the website, you're right in how many people had to see that and didn't see it, which is shocking.
Yeah, I was definitely shocked. And so were many of my friends. And, you know, it just, the coincidence that it was the first night of Hanukkah just goes to show you that things that the Jewish community are concerned about, we're often told, is we're overreacting on stuff. And there is such thing as like blowing up small things, but I think ignoring them or just brushing them under and say, well, this is not that bad, so we shouldn't worry about it, allows it to be more normalized. And once people are desensitized to little things because they said, well, it's not bad enough to worry about, it builds up until mm-hmm. suddenly, you know, the Tree of Life Synagogue was attacked, and then it was bad enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's little things build.
So we're going to take a break really quickly, but when we come back, two questions I want to talk about is kind of addressing what Jon Stewart's reaction was to Dave Chappelle's SNL monologue, because in the context of how do you, even as a non-Jewish person, fight or stand up against anti-Semitic rhetoric, and how do we have these conversations? And then also I want to just ask, as far as like, what joyful part of Judaism do you want to spread and want people to know? So we'll talk about both of those things when we come back with Allison Hayden from the Milwaukee Jewish Federation. Stick around. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Allison Hayden from the Milwaukee Jewish Federation, and we're talking about Hanukkah on the Hone and also the unfortunate rise of anti-Semitism. And as far as someone who, I'm sure there's parts of your job that are very depressing, because this is part of your job is to track incidents of anti-Semitism in Wisconsin, which sounds not fun. But also, like, how do you, for the conversation around how do we stop, how do we reverse this trend? And so much of the narrative this year, I think, has been around Kanye West and then Dave Chappelle and, again, the language used sometimes and sometimes in the name of comedy, sometimes, you know, and this is, and I don't think that's probably the only theory as to why there's been a rise of this, but it is a very public one. And I've yet to talk to with Greg or anyone on the show of Jon Stewart, one of my idols as far as how someone uses comedy to talk about the news. And his, what I took away from his kind of reaction to Dave Chappelle's SNL sketch or monologue was this rhetoric is happening in comment sections everywhere. And in what we were saying, like the anti-Semitism comments. And so we have to be talking about it because it's happening in the shadows anyways. And so we need to bring it to light. And I care less about if you agree with him or not, but more about the question is like, is that the first step is having more conversations and even putting a name to it?
Yeah. So that's a great, there was a lot of controversy, even just about the monologue, and yes, a lot of debate in the Jewish community. So to touch briefly on comment section and tie it back to the Hanukkah on the Hone, the National Shine a Light, when we asked, what do we do if we have anti-Semitic comments on our social media during this, they said, leave them, because it only shines a light more on why we're bringing this issue up. And so if you go to their YouTube channel, their videos are a cesspool of very negative and hateful comments. I don't recommend it if you're having a bad day.
Yeah.
And I do agree with that to an extent, because, you know, people will say whatever they say, and we're not necessarily here to punish people. What we're here for is educating people. Whenever I say, why do I do the audit of anti-Semitism? Why don't I publicize who these people are? I say, I'm not here to make them pay for what they said, to punish them for oftentimes things they said in ignorance or misinformation that they've received. Because that will only make things worse. When all you do is, you know, fire somebody, cut them out entirely, it will only make them more bitter, more angry, more likely to believe the ideas that, you know, they have been espousing. And instead, it should be taken as a moment for education. There should be a statement sometimes or some sort of public denouncement of what was said, but oftentimes it's better to handle these incidents by one-on-one or as a group, like reaching out to the person who said this and saying, listen, this came off really insulting. This was really insensitive to the Jewish community, or, you know, this is why we were upset by it. Can we please have a conversation? Sometimes things are said that go too far. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if someone's going to be out there saying, you should kill the Jews, like that, that's not someone that's going to have a conversation, and there will be extremes, but only 18% or so of national incidents are perpetrated by people who would be ascribed to a hate group. Most are everyday people that just are misinformed or believe kind of, you know, tropes or conspiracies that they've heard. And to stop anti-Semitism, it's more about the ripple effect outward than being able to like cut it off. If you can instead have conversations, if you can educate people, if you can build bridges with people, you are more likely to slow the spread of anti-Semitism, bigotry, all forms of hate, versus if you just censor everything and cut everything out. Do I believe people should be allowed to just go on to, say, the Milwaukee Jewish Federation and say tons of negative things and, you know, threaten us? No, absolutely not. And I think those things should not be allowed to spread, and because it perpetrates hateful and dangerous rhetoric. But I think oftentimes immediately shutting someone down is not helpful in this case, because a lot of anti-Semitism and other hates derives its power from just ignorance of the lived realities of, you know, in my case, Jewish people, in other cases, other minority groups. And it's much easier to demonize and caricaturize people if you don't know anything about them. So what I always instruct is that if possible, if you're looking at, you know, social media, you're watching the news and you're seeing one more incident of bigotry, hate, anti-Semitism, and you're saying, what can I do? Well, you can get to know people. Like, go out in your community, go meet somebody, go, you know, to a program that's community-wide and understand what your neighbors are like. Not everybody, you know, lives in your echo chamber, and oftentimes our social media especially filters an echo chamber. But go out there and meet someone who looks, lives, prays, loves differently than you. And that, you know, once you get to know someone, you realize the similarities and the differences, and you can appreciate people for who they are and what their different practices are. And once I've had people, when I do presentations about who are the Jews, what is Judaism, I've had people say that they've never really met a Jewish person, or they just have questions because they've never had the opportunity. And just being open and understanding that there may be some misinformation, there may be some ignorance, there may be some confusion, but automatically shutting that down is only going to let that spread. So taking that opportunity to instead say, let's talk about why do you think that? Why did you say that? And taking that moment can really be a positive way to slow that down.
Absolutely. Well, to end on a high note, what are some of the joyful aspects of Judaism and Jewish culture that you wish more people knew?
I mean, we have so many fun and like happy practices. Like the people online can't see it, but behind me, I have two menorahs because some of my Jewish staff members want to light candles every day. And I have dreidels, so we'll play with dreidels later and eat sufganiyot, which are jelly-filled donuts and latkes. And we'll take this moment to, like, yeah, we're shining a light on anti-Semitism with this, but we're also just shining a light in darkness because, you know, that sense of community that I get from the Jewish community is honestly one of the best parts about being Jewish, is that I always feel supported. I always feel like I have a community that loves to get together and celebrate when we can. And so Hanukkah's, you know, there's depressing things happen, but we have this bright moment in this dark, the winter solstice, darkest day of the year, literally. And I think that's the best, is that we find so many reasons to be together as a community and find reasons to thrive and, you know, wear the story of resilience.
Absolutely. Well, we'll link all of the information for Hanukkah on the Hone so you can check it out either in person or on the website. Allison Hayden, thank you so much for taking time to educate us and spend time with us today. Happy Hanukkah. And hopefully see you soon. All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll take another break.